prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we truly thank you, Lord, for this day, for this opportunity to draw ourselves out of the world for a short time, to meet here together with our brothers and sisters. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for your Spirit to continue with us through this service, that it will teach us and that we will be able to learn. I pray, Lord, for each of us here, that we will be quick to listen to those things that will be given unto us and that we will be intended to the speaker. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the speaker of the hour, that your Spirit will rest upon him, that it will loosen his tongue and open his mind to those things and the leading of the Spirit, that he can provide for us a few thoughts this night, that we can use to strengthen and edify us, to carry us through this week and make us better Christians and better examples to the world. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for all those, Lord, who stand in need of our prayers, those names that are brought forth this night, our sister Hyatt, and for Marie, and for our brother Don's niece, Brittany, and for Janelle's mother, Lord, I pray for each one of those, that you will strengthen them, that you will heal them of those things which are amiss, that you will uplift them quickly and give them a great blessing, and we will know, Lord, where that blessing has come from. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for the work of the gospel in these latter days. I pray, Lord, that you will direct your ministry and the things that they do and the things that they say, that they can reach those in the assemblies and that they can reach those that are looking and hungry and thirsting after righteousness. That you'll prepare the way before them as they go out into the world and look for those who are seeking for the truth and the church. That you'll prepare the way that they can find that and those people and make their contacts. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll be with our brothers as they travel this night home from the Indian Reservation or tomorrow in their travels, that you will bring them safely to their destination. And I pray, Lord, that the work that they've done there over this past week will be fruitful, and that any contacts they made will be fruitful also, and that they will be able to find those people that they've got names of, and they will be able to go into them and possibly locate someone, Lord, in the Indian Reservation that can carry the work amongst those people. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, for forgiveness of our sins this day. I pray, Lord, that you will always strengthen us in our weaknesses and guide us and direct us always. Now I ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we stand once again?
You go. Now I ask each of you to give your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother as he's prepared himself this night and will deliver unto us some words from God. So I pray that you will listen intently and that you'll pray for him and heed those words. I give you our assistant pastor and elder, Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brian. Good to see you here, Joel. Is your wife coming? Yeah, good. This sermon was kind of inspired by her testimony. Tonight I want to give to you some thoughts, some things that I found in the scripture that might be beneficial to you. And it deals with everyday life. Like I told Brian this morning, you know, I enjoyed his sermon today. And one of the main aspects that I enjoyed about it was that he took the gospel or the words that had been recorded in the scripture and he made it real to life, something that we could identify with. And that's very important, you know. If you can't identify with something, it's really hard to believe in it and really hard to follow it. And so that's why I enjoyed his sermon this morning, because it was something we can identify in our own life. Well, I hope that I can do the same thing tonight. Not too long ago, a brother stood up here and he said, "Let's go to the very beginning." And I'm going to kind of do the same thing, but I'm going to go into a different direction. Long time ago, as it recorded in the very beginning, as we can read in Genesis in the 3rd chapter, that when man transgressed the laws of God, there was a change that came upon man, mankind, where he was a body, or in his creation, he was created as an immortal body, so to speak, something that could live forever. And when he transgressed God, he became a body that became mortal, or something that would die, something that would decay, get old, and die. But there was one thing about it, that there would be a soul that would be eternal. All right, that didn't change. But the body that encompassed the soul did change at that time, as we're able to read in Genesis in the 3rd chapter. And I guess that's the reason, this is the thing I want to bring to your attention, as in was in Jenny's testimony. You know, she stood and she was relating the story that we had been praying for a little child down in Yucatan, and she found out that it died, and it was very sad to her, and I think it was sad to all of us. But because of man's transgression in the very beginning, death was. So it's a way of life. It's part of life, death. And I know a lot of times we don't like to speak about it, because it seems, for some reason, I don't know what it is, it seems to attack our faith if someone dies. Well, we didn't do enough for whatever reason, and that child died. And I don't want you to think that. I don't want you to think that at all, because that's the way of life. And as I was able to read through the scriptures, not only in the Bible, but in the Book of Mormon, more specifically in the Book of Mormon, they glorified God. Because they knew that individual was released of God, of this world, and they went to their Heavenly Father. And so was that little child with God this night. I don't really want to dwell on death as much as just the afflictions of the body, in sickness, and whatever affliction that might come upon the body. As I look out here, I see there's a lot of people we have prayed for the different afflictions. A young person that has been afflicted of their back, and an older person has been afflicted with their back. You know, things that they have to live with in their life. No different than when Paul, he had an affliction within his life. And the Lord said that his grace was sufficient for Paul. And that was sufficient for Paul, too, once he knew and understand that. Let's turn to third book of Nephi in the 13th chapter. And to just kind of support my thoughts about the body had been changed from immortality and then to a mortal body, and then, you know, we have the hope that it will be again an immortal body with our soul, complete. We find a little story here in the 13th chapter of 3rd book of Nephi on page 679, where we believe that there were some disciples chosen of God, three to be numbered here, who were able to, had a transformation, something a little bit different than their resurrection, but there was a transformation that went on that they might continue in this world. Starting with the 49th verse, and it says, "Now behold, as I spake concerning those whom the Lord had chosen, yea, even three who were caught up into the heavens, that I knew not whether they were cleansed from mortality to immortality. But behold, since I wrote, I have inquired of the Lord, and he hath made it manifest unto me that there must needs be a change wrought upon their bodies, or else it needs be that they must taste of death." And here they're talking about the thing that is has been so ordained from the very beginning after man's transgression. "Therefore, that they might not taste of death, there was a change wrought upon their bodies, that they not might not suffer pain nor sorrow, save it were the sins of the world. Now this change was not equal to that which should take place at the last day, but there was a change wrought upon them, insomuch that Satan could have no power over them, that he could not tempt them, and they were sanctified in the flesh, and they were holy, and the powers of the earth could not hold them." And that's the thing I wanted to kind of point out here, is that there were things that were set in order by God long time ago where you and I are afflicted by the powers that are here, the natural things and orders of life. You're going to get sick. You're going to get fevers. You're going to get old. You're going to feel all those things that come with life. But God's purposes aren't changed in your life. And that should not deter from your faith or your hope in God. And I hope you're understanding where I'm coming from. Because there's times that we're told, not very far in the future, that are told that there's going to be these things that are going to come on earth that have never happened before. Some things that are, you know, the tribulation period. And we're going to have to go through a lot of these things. Yes, there's going to be protection. But we're going to see death, and we're going to see famine, we're going to see sickness, and we're going to see a lot of things. We're seeing some of those things today. We're seeing things that are occurring to mankind on earth today, on the different diseases and the things that are going upon the face of the earth. Yes, and some of those things are going to touch our people. But are we going to forget and lose our spiritual eye when that thing occurs in our lives? Are we going to give it up? Are we going to forget the goal that Christ has for us? Eternal life with Him. In Alma, in the 21st chapter, we can't undo those powers that are on the earth, as it says here. You know, we can't circumvent them. Yes, the Lord God can intervene, and He does from time to time, but they have been set in order, and they will not change. In Alma, the 21st chapter, I find some scripture verses here that you don't normally find. You really don't normally find these little excerpts that I think is so important for us to look at every once in a while. And it's called reality. You know, a lot of times we look at the scriptures and we say, you know, they got all those blessings and they were always cared for, and that's all you read about. And a lot of times you don't see some of the little details that are actually in the scriptures. And here's one of those little details that I want you to look at tonight. I'm in the 21st chapter, verse 72. "And they began to have peace again in the land, and thus they did maintain peace in the land until nearly the end of the 19th year of the reign of the judges. And Helaman and the high priest did also maintain order in the church. Yea, even for the space of 4 years did they have much peace and rejoicing in the church. And it came to pass that there were many who died, firmly believing that their souls were redeemed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus they went out of the world rejoicing. And there were some who died with fevers, which at some seasons of the year was very frequent in the land, but not so much so with fevers because of the excellent qualities of the many plants and roots which God had prepared to remove the cause of diseases to which man was subject by the natures of the climate. But there were many who died with old age, and those who died in the faith of Christ are happy in him, as we must needs suppose. There are several things here that I wanted to try and emphasize. One, that they lived in an area where it was prone to fevers. So those kind of infections and things that would cause people to die because of the infections that would come upon the body. Okay, that's one thing. They realized that. They lived with it on a regular basis. It said every year this occurred. Okay. Another thing was that they did not forget. They did not forget the thing that the Lord taught them, was that when you died, what was the promise that came with death? And another thing, they gave God the glory, wherein He gave them the understanding of plants and roots and herbs and things that we can read about now in National Geographic and stuff, where there are tribes and things in South America, they have knowledge of different plants and herbs that our scientists are amazed at, you know. And those individuals who have that knowledge are dying today, and that knowledge is being lost. But we actually had people going down there, interviewing them, trying to find out all the plants and what the things are doing, and they're actually using some of those things in medicinal purposes here in the United States with all our knowledge. You know, they had this understanding. And so we find here they used plants and roots. They said God prepared those things for mankind. What for? For the fevers and the afflictions that come upon mankind. That's interesting. I want you to remember that. When you hesitate to go to the doctor, all right, for a particular problem, I don't want you to think that you're doing something wrong before God, because I know that it's not wrong. You're not putting your trust in that man. You're putting the trust that God has given mankind certain things to understand concerning the body. And those are blessings from God. No different than these people here when they said they had this knowledge and understanding of plants and roots. And that helped them to overcome these fevers and save people's lives. It really did. And they were giving God the glory for it right here. But they also realized that no matter what they did, there were people that died. There was people that died. But they said people died of their old age. They couldn't stop that. That was things of nature, things that would come upon mankind. They died. But they said they died. They went out in glory, knowing that beautiful reward that was waiting for them on the other side. Okay? And the other important thing here, it says, and those who died in the faith of Christ. And he clarified that. Those who died in the faith of Christ. All right. Those who aren't in the faith of Christ and die, you know, we can't speculate on that. But the important thing is that our lives are in order so that if a thing occurs, because he says you don't know when you're going to die, that you'll be right in God and with God. Long time ago, in the Mosaic Law, if you scrutinize the Mosaic Law, there are a lot of things in there that deal with body hygiene. You go through there and read some of those things. There's different laws and things of washing and cleansing and doing different things. Washing your hands before you eat and washing pots and pans and washing your body. There's a lot of hygiene involved in there. The Lord taught His people that hygiene was very important, just through the Law of Moses alone. And as they kept that, the Lord said, you know, you're going to have clean water, you're going to have good food, and you're going to have good health. If you don't follow those things, you're not going to have good health. Those are the things that Brother Don, and that is found down in Yucatan, where their hygiene is and such, and they suffer many afflictions just because of the hygiene that they have, because of not being able to get clean water and things of this nature. The laws of nature coming upon mankind, because of the original curse that was placed on mankind from the very beginning. Even Even Christ was chastised by the Pharisees, as you can read in Luke and Matthew and Mark, when he sat down to meet, and they didn't visually see him wash his hands. And I said, what is this guy, you know, sitting down here to eat, and he didn't wash his hands? And the Lord said, very, very particularly, he says, you guys are worrying about the outwardly man, and I want you to start worrying about the inwardly man. I want you to think about that inwardly man and the things that are wrong with it. Yeah, those things are important, but more important is the inwardly man, the things that are going on within that individual and the way he conducts his life. And so he was trying to bring out a point that they were very willing to do all these works and these things that, you know, to maintain in the Mosaic law, yet they were forgetting about the more important thing in life, dealing with the inward man. Some other statements I find that the Lord made, and I want to bring to your attention, and one in the Book of Mormon, and then there's one in the Bible. In Matthew, in the ninth chapter, and again, you know, a lot of times when we read something, if we've read it before, we have some preconceived idea, and that's how we interpret it, you know, and we see that all the time. And sometimes we read over things that may be there that we might want to consider or think about. And so here in Matthew, you find it in Matthew 9:12 and Mark 2:17 and Luke 5:31, and it deals with a statement that the Lord made. 9:12, it says, I'll tell you what. It was just what I was telling you about. Let me start up in the ninth verse. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus had heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. And so he was referring to those he was eating with were those people who needed him, needed to understand the law of God. And so why would it be so odd thing for him to be sitting there visiting with them and having dinner with them? And yet I want to call your attention where he said that they, behold, need not a physician. Okay. Now think about it in the aspect of the line in which I've been trying to travel. Even the Lord recognized that there would be a time in one's life that he would have to go to someone knowledgeable to help them in some physical need. And I don't think I'm stretching that at all. Because if he provided the herbs and the roots and stuff for that understanding, obviously there would have to be someone knowledgeable enough to be able to administer it. Not everyone would have all that knowledge. Just like Luke was a physician, as we understand it. And a lot of times he recorded things with an eye of a physician, of the beautiful miracles that the Lord had performed. And he went in more detail sometimes concerning that. And you find the same statement in Moroni in the 8th chapter and the 9th verse, using the very same words. Those who are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now I want to go to an aspect where it says, what are our responsibilities towards the sick? And I think this was some of the things that became very interesting to me as I studied and tried to put together something that I might present to you tonight. One of the things I want to bring to you, and money has something to do with this. You're going to say, what? Money has something to do with this. And we find that in the Book of Mormon. I want you to see that. It's in the book of Jacob in the second chapter. This was really kind of surprising to me when I came across this. I never really thought about it, or when I read it, you know, again, I have preconceived ideas sometimes and zoom right over it. Then when I saw this, I was really interested. The second chapter of Jacob, starting with the 22nd verse. That's on page 170. And it says, "Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like unto you. But before you seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God." Again, he is pointing out the most important thing that the Lord would have us to know and understand is that our spiritual lives must be in order. That our whole intent and thought would be towards our spiritual lives. Okay, that would be the number one thing. And then he says, and after you have obtained a hope in Christ, he says, ye shall obtain riches. Now let's find out what those riches are going to be for. If you seek them, and ye shall seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked and to feed the hungry and to liberate the captive and administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. Now, you know, we live in a society that if you've got a cold or if you've got some kind of affliction, it's going to cost you some money to go see a doctor. And if you don't have any money, you're going to be sick, and you're going to be sick a long time. And so, as I said, what are some of our responsibilities concerning sicknesses and things of this nature is as if we have the means whereby we can help someone in this affliction, that's our responsibility. And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning... I don't want to read that. Administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. So we find that it's tied to things' monetary value. So not only do we have that problem today, it must have been a problem a long time ago. Dealing with different services and being caring for the sick and the hungry and things of this nature. I thought that to be very important. Another one of those responsibilities that we must think about, I have some supporting scripture and then a particular scripture in Matthew, which would be a parable as well. Let's go over into Mosiah in the second chapter. We find that again, strong words concerning those things that of supporting the sick and the afflicted with your substance. And this is the thing that there's a couple other aspects involved in here. Yeah, this is on page 223. Well, starting on 222 on the bottom of the page, verse 42. And now for the sake of these things which I have spoken, this is King Benjamin speaking to a congregation, a group of people who have gathered together, spoken unto you, that is, for the sake of retaining a remission of your sins from day to day. Now he's talking about the inward man and keeping that inward man cleansed, that you may walk guiltless before God. I would that you should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief. That's more than just going and saying, hi, how are you doing? I'm glad to see you. You know, it's administering to their relief. And that would mean virtually helping them get the aid that they need, both spiritually and temporally. So we find it not only the spiritual needs, but the temporal needs, the things of which the body is needing according to their wants. And see that all these things are done in wisdom. And this is the other aspect in which we need to understand. And order, for it is not requisite that a man should run faster than he has strength. But then there's one other thing, so that we don't say, well, you know, I don't want to run too fast. Da, da, da. It says, and again, it is expedient that he should be diligent. That it should be something that would be steady, earnest, energetic effort to care for these needs. That thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order. Again, dealing with those things of the sick.
You know, we do have a common fund, and basically this body was consent to it, to having it available to our people when in these cases that we the ministry would have the ability to administer to those particular needs. And I think that's that's something that the Lord is going to bless us for in doing those things. And it's a good thing. And I think we should be mindful of that, you know, we are participating in these things. But I guess the thing that I'm really emphasizing, don't forget, is that the nature of things, the nature of mankind, these things are going to come upon you from time to time. And I don't want you to lose your faith or lose that eye that should be single unto the glory of God in the reward when you leave this earth. Let's go over to Matthew in the 25th chapter, which is a parable of Jesus Christ. Verses 31 through, I guess, 46. Again, our responsibilities towards the sick, and that could be ourselves or one of our family members or one of our neighbors, whatever it might be. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And He said, I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. And I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. And I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And I was sick, and ye visited me, and I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and we fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them that on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink, and I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked ye clothed me not, and sick in prison ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life eternal. I firmly believe these things that come upon mankind as part of our probation, as well as part of the things that are of nature. And it gives us, every one of us, opportunity to serve God and to have our works to prove our faith. And you may say, gosh, that seems kind of harsh. Seems kind of odd. But you know, as you read the scriptures, those are the things that you find in there. Those are opportunities for you to prove your faith in God. And without them, how would you prove your faith? Yes, there has been many times, as you read in the scriptures, of miraculous blessings where people were raised from the dead, healed from the sick, and a palsy, and all kinds of things. But you find the most important thing that the Lord was looking for in the lives of the children of men was that they were whole spiritually. What did he say to the person with the palsy? He said, "Thy sins be forgiven you." Now here's an individual. Now if he was today, he would be sitting in a wheelchair, have no control over his body. He'd be slobbering. And the first thing you would think in your mind was, "Oh Lord, I wish I had the power to heal him so he could stand up and walk." But what was the first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said to that individual? He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And everybody was going, "What do you mean? Why? Why is that?" He says, "So that you can understand that I have the power to forgive sin." And he said, "Stand up and walk." But the most important thing in his mind was the spiritual well-being of that individual. You know? And I thought that was, you know, it's a hard concept for us because we deal with hard facts. Facts are we get hurt, we get sick, we hurt. And we want that to not hurt. And so we relate to that individual as hurting, being in pain. But do we sometimes forget of the spiritual needs of that individual? I thought that was quite revealing as I studied for this night. The priorities that the Lord had as he demonstrated those powers, those miracles to glorify God. You know, sometimes the world turns those things around and makes it really muddled. The full purposes of the Lord. Like you can read in Luke in the 10th chapter. Again, I said, you know, Luke was a physician and he was looking at a lot of things as through an eye of a physician. And so he's recorded this concerning the Good Samaritan. You can find it in the 10th chapter. And you find there in that story, well, we can turn over there and look at that. Let's go over there in the 10th chapter of Luke. Starting with the 25th verse. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his remnant, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto them, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell amongst the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." Again, the opportunity there that for someone to bring forth good works to a neighbor. The ministry are no exception to these things. They don't escape sicknesses and things of this nature. nor do I feel that it reflects upon their faith that they do fall in sicknesses. In Mosiah, in the 11th chapter, we find where there might even be cases where the ministry would be so sick that he wouldn't be able to care for himself. And so there was provisions made that the people might care for them. It's on page 285, the 11th chapter of Mosiah. We do believe that our ministry support themselves and their families, and then they take time to go and minister the Word of God, but then they would return again to their labors. And so here in the 155th verse, you find Jay and all their priests and teachers should labor with their own hands for their support in all cases, save it were in sickness or in much want. Doing these things, they did abound in the grace of God. So you see, we're not exempt from that either. Not only is there a sickness that comes with us, maybe, also much want, whatever it is. We have the same afflictions as each one of you. You know? One of the beautiful things that I can think about concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, in that when I conceive or think about in the Scriptures where it says that He created all things, He is our Father, because He created us. And yet, He allowed Himself to become flesh. You know, that is a concept that is really kind of hard sometimes to understand. Knowing all things, having all power, but condescending, thank you, to our state, that He might fully understand our needs. I wish He helped me then. Alma in the 5th chapter. Let's turn to that verse of Scripture. Twentieth verse on page 324. And he shall go forth and suffer pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy, according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. In the book of Hebrews, in the 2nd chapter, in the 18th verse, you find something similar to that as well, where the two canons of Scripture agree. So we find even our Lord Jesus Christ was sick, he was tired, physical afflictions of whatever, as he lived on this earth in the flesh. So even he wasn't exempt from those things. As I said before, yes, there's provisions. There are things there that we can realize, blessings that come from God. And it comes by way of according to our faith. We do not always know and understand the mind of God. But we, as a collective body, have many testimonies of the manifestation of the Spirit of God that has fallen upon different individuals and healed them of different afflictions by way of our faith. So it was in those days
And they gave God the glory for it. It's on page 623. But as many as were converted did truly signify unto the people that they had been visited by the power and Spirit of God, which was in Jesus Christ, in whom they believed, and as many as had devils were cast out from them, and were healed of their sicknesses and their infirmities, did truly manifest unto the people that they had been wrought upon by the Spirit of God and had been healed. Now, if you read it real quickly, you might skip over what it was trying to say. As many as had these things happen to them, they testified of it. It wasn't that they were all healed, that there was no more afflictions upon the children of men at this time. It was those who did receive those blessings of God gave God the glory for it. Then we find there was times, even in the life of Christ, here the Creator of all things in the flesh, with all faith, and yet look at what he wasn't able to do because of the lack of faith. In Mark, in the 6th chapter, in the 5th verse, actually I'll start with the 4th verse because of the words of Christ. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kind, in his own house. And he called there to do mighty work, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the village teaching. So even with all the faith that Christ had, with all the power that he had, faith denied the healings that some of those people could have received. In the words of Christ, this is Christ's ultimate desire for mankind. We find that in John, the 17th chapter, verses 19 through 23. And for their sakes, for all of our sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Beautiful words. The Lord sanctifying himself for us. There's many accounts as you go through the scriptures and find that the saints waded through much affliction. There was martyrdom that occurred in both continents. You can read in the Book of Mormon where the servants of God were compelled to withhold the power of God to save women and children who were being burned alive for the sole purpose that God's judgment upon mankind would be just. And that was the very words that were spoken. And it may be hard for us to fully understand those things. As I said before again, you know, we don't know the mind and the will of God other than his desires are for us. I do not want our faith to be slackened when we come across things that are of the human nature. And I hope you understood what I tried to speak about tonight. And think about some of the references and the things that I brought forth tonight. You know, the human aspect. of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God be with you.
As we come to the close of this day, we thank you, Lord, for this hour that we've had here together. We thank you, Lord, for the words that come unto us. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will be mindful of this message and that we will apply it to our lives and to our hearts and take it with us to strengthen us. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, once again for those many who stand in need that have sicknesses. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them according to their needs, that you will uplift them and take care of them, and that we can be a service to them, Lord, if we have the opportunity to do so. I pray, Lord, once again for those brothers who are traveling on the road at the close of the Navajo Fair. And we pray, Lord, that you will bring them safely to their destination. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll be with our missionary endeavor and the work of the gospel. I pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, that you will bless each one of them according to their needs. That you will bless the efforts down there that are being made, and that your church will grow and the gospel can spread through those people and through the natives up here, Lord. I pray that you will always direct us and guide us in our ways, the things that we do, with the ministry, that you will give them wisdom and direction. Now I ask these things and praise your name in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.